Hi, this is Bob Pop, a voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast.
Good evening. Welcome back, Giants fans, to the latest edition of the Big Blue UK Ireland podcast. Proudly, as always, in association with Andy's Man Club. Lads, it's okay to talk. This week, we are 67% British, 33% Irish, but absolutely, as always, still 100% Giants. Kev's back, but you notice someone's missing. Producer Craig's been a bit under the weather this evening, but he is working away in the background doing his little thing, so hope you feel better soon, mate. But yeah, Kev's back to join me and Shane to go through the last three positions in our top five prospects with Shane and Kev, corners, safeties and linebackers this evening. That's how we do.
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, like you said, to the last of the position groups for mine and Kev's top fives. You know, looking forward to getting into all three positions, because I think all three positions are not... There's no kind of elite at the either positions, but there's a lot of depth there, and I'm sure me and Kev have got to... very differing top fives potentially.
Yeah, looking forward to these three positions. I mean, at the moment, we kind of feel two of them, corner and safety, are kind of big needs, and also with linebacker being a bit of a sneaky need, it'd be good to get into some of these top fives. But glad to be back. Sorry I missed last week, lad. You know, Easter break, had to get away with the wee one and stuff. But yeah, good to be back home with you boys. And as they say, like, you know, the NFL never sleeps. We're just over 3 weeks away now till the NFL draft. So, you know, it's really kicking on now. It's exciting times.
You're not wrong. We are, yeah, just over 3 weeks away. You know, obviously last week's announcement, we said about our plans for draft night for the first round. We're mega looking forward to that, you know, getting things planned, getting things arranged, getting things finalised. So, yeah, we've got a lot to look forward to over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll have as many viewers and listeners tuning in and watching along live as we watch the first night of the draft on April 25th, isn't it? 25th of April, yeah, something like that. And also, yeah, we'll be streaming live together for the first time ever. So, you know, all in one room. So it'll be quite nice, and it'll be a new experience for us as well. So we're looking forward to that for sure. As usual, get your comments in, get your thoughts in, get your questions in, throw them up, and we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. You can also check out our social platforms and our merch store as well by following the links in the description, and feel free to like and share if you're watching. To kick off this week, it's our roundup of the latest news and rumours. Kev, what's the off-season schedule looking like, my friend?
Yeah, the off-season schedule. So Friday, the NFL released a voluntary workout schedule for all 32 teams for the upcoming season. The New York Giants dates are, so the first day, April 15th, that's when all players start to come back. OTA off-season workouts from May 20th, 21st, May 23rd, May 20th and 29th, May 31st, June 3rd and 4th, and June 6th and 7th, with mandatory minicamp from June the 11th to the 13th. Now, in addition to the above, the Giants can hold a rookie football development program for a period of 7 weeks from May 13th. Now, a friend of the pod, Art Stapleton, he reported yesterday that the Giants will again, in his tweet, he said the Giants will again give their rookies a full 2 weeks off between the NFL draft and rookie minicamp, which marks their arrival for good for the off-season program. It's an appreciation for the grind that the players have gone through post-college season throughout the whole draft process. And this year's rookie minicamp will be May 10th and 11th.
The crazy thing is, talk about rookie minicamp, it's only just over a month away.
Exactly, you know, that.
Second of April now, and it's like, wow, it's come around to this time of year already. So, yeah,
I mean, couple of weeks time the team's back, you know, for some stuff before the draft. And like, you know, you said the draft's only what, 3 weeks away Thursday, like we said, and like you said, in a month's time, you know, those rookies will be taking the field in Giants blue.
Exciting times. There's and hopefully those rookies that are taking the field in Giants blue are some decent players, put it that way. Shane, Bobby Okereke has been scouting someone.
Yeah, I mean, just when you think you couldn't love the guy anymore, he's out there recruiting for a position that you potentially need. So a lot of analysts are still reporting that the backfield positions are a bit of a glaring issue for the Giants. And, you know, Kev alluded to that when we spoke about about later on in the show, the safety and the cornerbacks. And PFF chose us as the best landing spot for best landing spot for ex-Colt Julian Blackmon, who's still a free agent. Now, he was selected in the third round of the 2020 draft by Indy and appeared in 50 games for the Colts, recording 214 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 2 QB hits, 1 sack, 17 batted passes, and 17 interceptions with a 1 touchdown. And it seems that, you know, this scenario, Bobby Okereke's kind of got on board with as well. He played with Blackmon for 3 years between 2020 and 2022. And he retweeted a post about the PFF article on Twitter or X, even going as far as tagging Blackmon whilst adding the eyes and fire emoji. Now, personally, I love this. I like Blackmon as a player. And, you know, you love to see your own players recruiting, especially someone like Bobby O. But, Kev, what are your thoughts on the Giants potentially picking up Blackmon?
Yeah, I think it'd be a great addition. I've kind of been calling for Blackmon throughout this whole process. I think he'd be the type of player to come in. I think he's a very good single high safety, but also can play the split safeties in a two deep safety set. I think he will fit into Shea Bowen's new defensive scheme. He's still only 25. He'll be 25 when the season starts. You know, he had dealt with a few injuries early in his career, but he's kind of come through that now. I mean, just looking at his last year's PFF grades, I mean, overall, he posted a 68.3 and a 72.6 in coverage. So, I mean, like, he's one of those players that I'm so surprised he hasn't been snapped up yet. It might be one of those things where, like, you know, at the moment, with the free agent signings counting against the comp pick formula, I believe Dan Duggan said that will be after the draft. The Monday after the draft, any free agent signings won't count against the comp pick, because at the moment we've got a fourth round comp pick for Xavier McKinney, and that's all we've got. So I don't know whether they're trying to like hold out a little bit longer until after the draft, see if they see some needs there. They might take a safety early, and then someone like Blackmon might not be necessarily a big need. But I think, like, just back to your question, I just think he's a really, really good fit. He's a player I've earmarked, and I would love him to see him in Giants Blue.
Nothing else to add. I mean, I like Blackmon. I think he's a solid safety. I think he would fit well in Shane Bowen's system. And let's face it, if Bobby Okereke can vouch for him, then, you know, I think it'd be a great replacement for McKinney. And, you know, why not? Why not? That's me. someone earned some players earned themselves some extra cash in 2023.
Yeah, they did. I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard of this before. I don't know if it's a new thing. I must look into it. I only saw it this afternoon. So I must look into it properly. But the performance-based pay, right? This is a NFL initiative, and they have announced their performance-based pay distributions for the 2023 season. There's a $12.3 million pool per team. These payments don't count towards the cap and generally benefit players with the lowest salaries and highest playing time. So I think it's more of as benefits for those players who have played a lot for a team, contributed for them, but are on the lower end of the salary. I mean, just some of the top tens of the Giants. I mean, Jason Pinnock got himself $817,000. Ben Bredesen was number two at $764,000. And then you look at Nick McLeod, he got himself $473,000. Daniel Bellinger, $541,000. So it's kind of like, it's just a little bit interesting to see that. I must look into it to see these sort of performance-based incentives. I mean, it's nice to see some of the younger lads or lads who are like on the lesser pay showing that if you go out and perform and play some snaps for the team, you know, you will get some sort of a little bit of a kickback, let's say, at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think those, you know, all those players you mentioned, not many of them were on big contracts. So, you know, it's nice to have a sort of an extra boost to their pay pack at the end of the year. Challenge to have jack shit for last year. Thanks for that, Steve. I'm not wrong. Nobody deserves a bonus. But Funny side note, he obviously only played four snaps in 2023. Aaron Rodgers, he earned himself a staggering $81.44. That's $20.36 per snap. Hadn't played all 1,100 offensive snaps for the Jets. That would have been over $22,500 just for being on the field. So, $81 Aaron Rodgers earned himself for those four snaps he played at the beginning of the season. I'd never heard of it either. I saw it, I think it was yesterday I saw that. I thought, okay, these players are earning themselves a lot of money. And obviously, Pinnock being 11th highest in the league, proves that he had a stellar season because he's earned himself a huge stack of cash on his performance. Moving on, we've got latest mock drafts. The only analyst with a new mock is Lance Erline, who released his 3.0 version only a couple of hours ago. He decided he'd be a bit more aggressive in the trade market, projecting four first-round trades, including a projected trade with the New England Patriots to move up to third overall, where he selected Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. Now, obviously, with Zerline's previous two mocks, both projecting offensive tackles, obviously, at pick six, maybe he heard Shane's message from last week in that he was doing everything just to piss him off and decided to change it up a bit. So, Lance, we appreciate the fact you changed it up, but what do you guys make of that one?
Finally.
Here we go. Look at the smile on his face. Look at him. He's so happy. Bless him.
Lance is one of the lads again now. I'm welcoming him back in.
Lance the lad. Fair play.
It's interesting on two parts. I don't know what you think, Kev. Obviously, the trade up and then going for the quarterback as well. It's a bit of an interesting trade.
I think we talked about it quite a bit, but I'm very high on Drake May. He's definitely QB2 for me still in this process. I think he'd be an absolutely fantastic player. I mean, I think it's a great situation as well, because I do think he's got some things to clean up. So sitting for a year or half a year, depending on how they do it, behind Daniel Jones, while we actually retool the roster, I think it'd be really beneficial for him. I wouldn't go up for someone like JJ McCarthy. I'd rather sit and if we did go that route, I'd be okay if we sat and picked, stuck and picked. For someone like Drake May, yes, go up for him. I mean, did they say what the compensation was? Because that would be interesting. I mean, I'm guessing it'll be a first round pick next year. I'm just, off the top of my head, that's kind of, the minimum of what would need to get done. Do I love the move? Yes. Will I give up a first round pick for number six? Like a number six pick this year and a first round pick to secure a talent like Drake May? Absolutely. I think he's that good a player. I'd be happy with that. And you'd have to trust the Joe Sheehan, the front office, and Brian Daboll to use the other picks, to the second, third round type picks, to fill the roster with other needs. But to be able to get what's most believed to be a franchise player who could be a top five, top eight overall NFL QB in a couple of years' time, I think it's definitely a move you'd have to make.
Yeah, I think if the move's right and it feels right, then why not? I think it didn't mention what compensation they gave up. It just mentioned that it was on the expensive side. So that would suggest, probably a first-round pick next year as well. Producer Craig has a comment. Interesting stats on the odds for number of wins projected for the upcoming season. We're over under 6.5 wins for the season. Thanks for that, Kieran. 6.5 wins for the season. That's the over under set. That.
Think that's fair, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, you've got questions at quarterback. You don't know who's going to be starting. Is it going to be DJ? Is it going to be Drew Lock? Is it going to be a rookie? Is it going to be Tommy Cutlitz? We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we've got no weapon at wide receiver. I think 6.5 is quite fair, to be honest.
I mean, I think it's around that ballpark. I mean, I'm forever the optimist. As people who have watched this or listened to us know, I'd love to think that whoever we go out quarterback this year, whether it be someone we take in the first round or whether it's Daniel Jones with a weapon from the first round, I'd like to think that we could could kind of go one above, but I mean, it's right around that. It's right around that mark where it's like, ooh, is it over or under? I'd go over personally, but I do think it is a bit of a sweet spot.
Yeah, I think with the quarterback situation, I think it's maybe a little generous. But you know, I'll take the over for sure. But yeah, I do think it is a little bit generous considering our situation with quarterback. The fact, like I said, we don't have a wide receiver one. We've had some, you know, big losses in our defensive secondary as well. So, you know, 6.5 is an interesting number. Projections, if we take a quarterback or wide receiver, if in the first. All right, Shane, what's your projections if we take a quarterback or wide receiver in the first? Over 6.5?
Oh, see, I think this has got so many caveats to it. Like, are you going to... Like, if you take JJ McCarthy...
It depends who.
Yeah, like, if you take JJ, like, God help us that we don't. But if we, if we draft JJ... Can you tell I'm not a JJ guy? But if we draft JJ... Look, if we draft JJ, he's got to sit for the year. Simple. Like, there's no questions asked, in my opinion. He needs to sit for the year. So if that happens, the win-loss could be at 4 or 5 potentially. Whereas let's say you get a Drake May, maybe you're looking at about 7 wins if he ends up coming in halfway through the season. And then again, if you take a Malik Nabers or a Dunze, I'm not going to mention Marv because we're all just taking it that Mark's going to be off the board. But if we took one of the other two guys and DJ starts, if it comes down to that quarterback playing, you expect it to go up a little bit, maybe again. 7.5, I'd say.
Oh, I love it. Now, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. I'm not going to go down, Craig, producer Craig. You're trying to send us down a rabbit hole to have a 3-hour podcast tonight, but it's not going to happen. I'm just going to say that...
Get down that hole, Kev. Come on.
I mean, I just think, like, if you bring in a weapon now for Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is starting QB at the beginning of the year. Like, let's just face that. Whoever we draft, I think... They'll be stern enough when they're in their convictions to have him start no matter what and become week one as long as he's fit. So if you have him a weapon, I think the wins could go above 7. If you draft a quarterback, then you're not getting that premier weapon for the rookie QB or the Daniel Jones. So I just think that with the weapons, the wins will go up. With a QB who's likely to sit all the season, if not, you know, most of the season, if not all the season, with lesser weapons, I think, you know, the wins could be a bit lower. So I'd give it, yes, 5.5 with a QB, 7.5 with a wide receiver.
And Steve thinks, you know, taking Malik Nabers in the first, Bo Nix in the second, bumps that over-under up as well. What do you guys reckon to that?
Well, Steve just said, I think Steve's come up with one of my dream scenarios. I love this. I just don't think Bo Nix gets out of the first round. I don't think he gets past 23 or 25, to be fair. And I cannot see us giving up a draft capital to move from 47 all the way down to that early 20s where you'd need to get to minimum to pick up someone like Bo Nix. Because don't forget, if these top four lads go 1 to 4, 1 to 6, you have teams at what? Minnesota 11, Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13. They're all QB hungry teams, like needy teams. So they're going to be sniffing around Penix and Bo Nix around that mark. So although it's nice to think, oh, Bo Nix will fall to us at 47, I just can't see it. What do you think, Shane?
No, I'll be amazed. I don't see the only quarterback that's going to fall to us in the second round is going to be like a Spencer Rattler. That's what I personally think. I'm just going to hijack Craig's job a second as well. James just put it on as well. I can see a trade up at the back of the first with the Chiefs or Niners to get Penix. I think you're going to have to move up higher than the Chiefs and Niners personally. I think Penix's stock is rising at the moment. He had his pro day last week that elevated him. He threw the ball well. He moved really well. Like I mentioned a few weeks ago when we spoke about the quarterbacks and Penix himself.
Medicals come back clean.
Yeah, medicals come back clean at the combine. I've not seen anything to indicate he's maybe interviewed badly. So Penix is one of them players that's kind of rising. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Penix goes before Bo Nix potentially in the draft.
I can see it, though. There's a lot of buzz around him. I mean, the tape is out there. For me, when I sat down to watch the national championship, I was waiting. I wanted to see Penix go off with Odunze, Polk, and McMillan in the slot. I wanted to see like explosions. I wanted to see like fireworks. And he underwhelmed a bit, but that's one game. If you go back and watch this whole season, you know, he's been so, so good. And it was always about the medicals. And I think those medicals coming back clean is huge, because he's a high character guy as well. He interviews really well, apparently. He comes across really well in interviews. So I think, yeah, he will go in the teens, I think, now. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he makes it into the 20s, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, maybe even someone like the Rams take a bit of a chance on him. Obviously, that Stafford's getting old, so that could be another team to watch out for. You know, I mean, so we're off on one day. We're off on a tangent. The show's gone to shit now.
The rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're good in that rabbit hole. But like, I mean, Penix is an interesting one, because obviously, if we did decide to draft him, and we've obviously done a lot of due diligence on him, what do you then do with Thomas? Because Penix is a lefty. Lefty. So, you know.
I think, Art Stapleton did tweet again yesterday, something along the lines of, does Penix being, because Penix met them for dinner, didn't he? Met the Giants for dinner at the Pro Day, and he's having a workout with them. They're actually very high on him. So, I mean, can you imagine the Giants Twitter have meltdown if Penix has gone at six? But we'll leave that to later on in the draft process. But they said, like Archie Stapleton said, that the Giants would have no problem taking a lefty, would have no problem at all. And then he was sort of asked the question, what about Thomas then? He is left tackle, but blindside protector. Would you move him to your blindside of the QB? And the answer was a stern no. If they brought in a left-handed quarterback, they would just try to get better play at right tackle and not move Andrew Thomas. What's your thoughts on that, Shin?
It's risky. I mean, Evan Neal's not exactly balled out over the last 2 years, has he? I mean, he's kind of on the cusp of, let's say the B word, a bust. You know, he's on the verge of becoming a bust at the minute. You know, he's taken seventh overall. I mean, I will say, I like Penix a lot more at six than I like Daniel Jones at six.
Oh, there we go. That's a hot take, people. That's what we call a hot take.
But yeah, you know, it'd be interesting. I mean, the one thing's for certain, I won't be able to use the Giants on Madden. I hate it when there's a left quarterback throwing. It throws me massively. It just looks wrong.
It just looks so weird, so wrong. But by the way, we love these tangents as well. Keep the comments coming in, because like, this is actually fun. Like, we love talking about stuff like this. We love talking scenarios about what the Giants could do or can't do or should do or shouldn't do.
Yeah, that went to shit, Steve. That was never ever going to happen.
Yes, Steve.
We've spoke about O-line now. DJ and O-line slander every episode.
DJ, when the crowd say Bo, select Knicks.
Oh, dear. Kev, you got a correct producer, Craig, make sure you snap that Kev just dropped there, yeah? We've got to use that somewhere. But yeah, keep those comments coming in. It's great to get these guys talking. We do have a interesting mock draft that was released by ESPN's Matt Miller this week. He's done a 7-round Giants mock draft. Look at that, eh? He did a 7-round mock draft entirely. So he had the Giants taking Malik Nabers at 6, Michael Penix at 47, Christian Hayes, guard, in the 3rd round at number 70, Marshawn Lloyd, running back, in round 4 at number 107. Tyler Davis, defensive tackle, in round 5 at number 166. And then Willie Drew, cornerback, out of Virginia State, in the 6th round at pick 183. Shane, what do you make of that?
Where do I sign up? I'm happy with that. Like, I'd take that. I mean, we've already done the Penix conversation, so I'm not going to go into that one again. I really like Christian Haynes as a guard at UConn. I'll be really happy with him. I mean, kind of in that 3rd round, I'm eyeing up either Christian Haynes or Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. One of those two guards I'd be more than happy with. Spoiler, Marshawn Lloyd might be spoken about a lot sooner than listeners are expecting, so I'll save my comments for that one. But yeah, I like that pick. Tyler Davis, I like him as well out of Clemson. When I do feel like where he's picked a lot of these players, he's probably like a round too late. Like, I feel like Penix is going to go in round one, Haynes will go in round two. I feel like that where he's got, I love the players, but they're just going to go around earlier than what he's mocked us. And I'll be honest with you, Willie Drew, I don't know too much about. I don't know if Kev's got any thoughts on him.
No, I mean, it is a great draft, to be fair, but, you know, Neighbours at six, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's a home run pick. I mean, any of the top three wide receivers, you'd be laughing to be able to get them. Michael Penix Jr., again, we love him. The team love him. Front office love him. They love him at six. He won't be there at 47. Haynes is an awesome guard, proper mauler. He's going to go in the second round, late second round, I think. I think, like, if you want Haynes, you're going to take him at 47, in my opinion. That's even if he's there. Marshawn Lloyd, you know, I'm coming around to him. I wasn't keen to begin with. I think probably it was the Notre Dame-USC rivalry. I sort of like dropped him down a bit. But I've come around to him. Actually, the more I watch of him now, I watched a little bit more of him yesterday. And he just, because someone said he's like a, I heard a comment or read a comment on Twitter. Like, he's like a, he's very explosive. He's like a Saquon Barkley light, is what someone said. So I was like, okay, let me just go back and watch another game of his. Because I only watched the two games. So I went back and watched another game. And yeah, I mean, he has got that explosiveness. So yeah, I'll be moving him up my rankings, I think, a little bit. Tyler Davis, solid. Not sexy, but solid. Willie Drew, I haven't heard of. I haven't got down to, that far down into my cornerback rankings yet to have a real look at him. But obviously, he's on there now, so I'll pencil him to have a wee look. But I just feel that with the way the current roster is constructed, that we kind of need to go cornerback and safety 2, 3, 4. I think we kind of need to come out of this draft with second round, third round, or fourth round with starting caliber safety and cornerback. And they're there. They're absolutely there. I mean, there's no top-end safeties. There's no, like, Xavier McKinney's, Kyle Hamilton's, like, first round, like, bona fide stars. But they're starting caliber safeties all the way down to, like, a third, fourth, even fifth round in this draft, and cornerbacks as well. Cornerbacks and wide receivers, there's just loads. I mean, there are just so many to pick from. It's all about flavor. There's lots of number twos. There's the top end. You have number ones, the first rounders. You have, like, number one bona fide. But we've got Banks now, who I believe can be a number one caliber starting corner. But there's a lot of number twos. A lot of number twos in this draft. So I think we kind of need to come away with the safety and a cornerback and those type of mid-round.
Lots of twos, eh? We'll be delving into safeties and corners in a minute. So, you know, I'm sure there's some names coming up that you'd be absolutely over the moon if the Giants picked them up in the second or third round. Just want to touch on quickly. I said last week that we want to see your most outrageous mock drafts. Someone here decided to go for an all Notre Dame 2024 draft class. Now, I wonder who that could be. This guy right here, right? This guy to my right. Gotta be. On draft night, Shane and Kev will be judging and selecting a winner. So there might just be a prize as well. So to enter, create an obscene Giants 7-round mock draft, post it on X and tag us in it because we want to see it. We'll see some really good ones. So we've already had a few. So thanks to those that have tagged us in it. But yeah, get mocking and tag us in it on X. Look forward to seeing some of those. Has anyone listened to the latest Move the Sticks podcast? They've done a first round defensive only mock draft and it was a struggle. Thanks for that whole team. No, I haven't listened to it. Either you boys listened to that?
No, not yet. No, I haven't. I know they've done an offensive one 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And obviously they're doing a defensive one this time. But it'd be a lot offensive, I can imagine, was easy to do a first round one. The defensive one, I can imagine, would have been a bit more difficult.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, the offensive weapons that are on the board in the first round, I'm not surprised that would have been the easier weapon too. But I haven't listened to that. Shane, have you listened to it? I'm guessing not.
No, I'm a little bit behind with more podcasts, to be honest, just because I'm doing that much research in terms of the draft. I'll catch up over the next couple of weeks leading into the draft. But like, obviously, we're working on things ourselves behind the scenes, getting things ready for our draft night. So that's kind of been my priority the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
look at that, prioritizing your own podcast. I love that. But I will listen to it at some point because that does sound like quite a laugh. So looking forward to listening to that. It is that time again where I sit back, relax and soak it all up. The final three positions for Shane and Kev to reveal their top five draft prospects, starting off with those linebackers. Take it away, Shane. Over to you, mate.
Yes, so I'm going to go through my top five now. Once again, like we've done previously, I don't know what Kev's top five is, so it'll be interesting to see. I've no idea how similar we are or anything. So with my top five, number five, I've gone with Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Four, Junior Colson out of Michigan. Three, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Two, Edrian Cooper out of Texas A&M. And at number one, I've gone for Peyton Wilson out of NC State.
Nice, nice. Not too dissimilar. So I've gone for number five, Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. Number four, Cedric Gray, North Carolina. Number three, Edrian Cooper, Texas A&M. Number two, Junior Colson, Michigan. And number one, the same, Peyton Wilson, NC State.
So I thought I'd been brave by putting Peyton Wilson at one.
Well, the thing was, right, I did have Junior Colson as one, right, for a long, long time. And I kind of sat down and said to myself, why isn't Peyton Wilson number one? Like, why? And the only thing I could come up with is his injuries.
Yeah.
His injuries. That's the only reason. I mean, like, you know, he's physical. He's got real nastiness to him. He's got leadership. I mean, he was out there, even when he was injured, he was out there egging the team on, like getting behind them, like a real sort of Sterling Shepherd type player. You know, he's got proper athleticism. I mean, what do they have, a 4.51? No, he had a 4.43 40 time at the combine with a 1.54 split, 10-yard split. I mean, the geezer is pure athletic. I mean, and he's long as well. He's what, 6'4", 233 pounds. You know, he creates problems in the passing lane, you know, when he gets his hands up like for quarterbacks. He's good in coverage. Last two seasons, boys, he had four interceptions, six pass breakups. And I think like I said, the only sort of real issues with him, I mean, he needs to get a little better in the run game, but the only issue was injuries. You know, can't remember exactly all his injury history, but you know, he suffered quite a lot of injuries, and like, so I was like, do you know what? If he's passed the medical at the combine, he is for me by like not by far, but he is for me definitely number one linebacker in this group.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I had Edrian Cooper at number one for a while, and Peyton Wilson was LB2. And again, like you said, it's because of them injuries. But he went to the combine. He had a good combine. Nothing come back negative about him. So then it was a case of, okay, maybe you just need to overlook that and just sort of see, rate the player based on what you see on tape. He was the Booker's Award winner as well last year at college. For people that don't know, that goes to the best linebacker in college, and he's got some good company. That I think, like White's won it previously. Campbell, who went to the Lions last year, won it last year as well.
So, first round pick.
Yeah, exactly. I was quite high on him. That's the kind of things that I like to look for with players, to see who's won what awards, because it gives you an idea as to what, yeah, you know. You don't win the Booker's Award if you're a day three pick, in all honesty. Go on.
And also, just quickly, just on that as well, he's a first-team All-American.
Yeah. For me, Peyton Wilson, I was a bit iffy, in all honesty, about putting him at number one. But in the end, it's a case of just trusting what you see on the tape. Trust, like you said, at the combine, and just stick with your instinct.
Yeah, just going to say, I mean, he tore his ACL in his senior year at high school. So he came in as a freshman with a torn ACL. Was it in 2021, he had a season-ending shoulder injury in week two, and he had another injury as well in 2022. So these are there, I get that, but like we said, with Penix, as long as the teams are happy with it and he's come back from the combine, there's been no murmurs about a bad medical at the combine, then for me, yeah, he is number one in this class.
Yeah, with the Buckley's Award as well, we just got to look back at some of its, you know, previous winners. Going back a few years, you got Luke Kuechly, Von Miller, Manti Te'o. Remember that guy? even, you know, more recent, Devin White, Isaiah Simmons, N'Kobe Dean, Jack Campbell. Yeah, so some big names in there. So the fact that he's won that award is, it says a lot about the guy. But let's touch on Edgerrin Cooper, because I know you both said he's quite high on your boards. Why did you have him at two rather than you have him at three, Kev? Why did you have him at three rather than at two? Sorry, should I say, Kev?
So what I just feel that Junior Colson from Michigan, for me, he's 6 foot two, 238 pounds. I just think he's like, he plays like a safety. He's an incredible athlete. He's got good power. He finishes people really well. He's only got a 4.7 missed tackle rate in 23. He's one of those people that he just runs to the ball. Even if he's not the first one there, he's there moving people. He's there in the old sort of like scrum, getting the move on. And he's dangerous as a blitzer, as a free rusher off the edge. So I just think that sort of versatility for me, I think, sort of edged him out over Cooper. But I mean, Cooper is a very, very good player, and I'll let Shane talk about why he likes him, why he likes him and why he's got him a two.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it looks like Edgerrin Cooper, he was kind of battling with Payton Wilson for that kind of number one spot. I mean, you look at his stats last year, put up a PFF grade of 90.8. Run D grade was 87.6. His pass defense grade was 86.4. In 12 games he played, he made 75 tackles. He did have 11 missed tackles. He allowed 14 receptions on 16 targets. So he's not really much of a coverage linebacker. But, I just think when you look at him, athletically, he's an absolute kind of beast, in all honesty. I was trying to get his stats up on the screen that I want up. For me, I mean, you look at his size. I mean, Payton Wilson, he's 6 foot four, 233, ran a 4.43. That's probably typical size and perfect speed that you want at the linebacker position. And Edgerrin Cooper,
now this dude can roll. He's the best.
6'2", 230, 4.5, 140. For me, it was kind of very close. And like I say, it just come down to the fact of just trusting what I'd seen on film with Payton Wilson to put him at number one. But for me, Cooper was not far behind at all.
Nice.
Yeah, just for me. It was that sort of in coverage. I just think he gets a little bit lost sometimes. He's more sort of reactionary than proactive. Like, it feels like, he waits a little bit too long to confirm what he's seeing, and then he goes and makes a play. But obviously he's quick enough to go and make the play, but there's just that little indecisiveness, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and Shane, you've gone for Jeremiah Trotter. Obviously he's not in Kev's top five at all. Why'd you go for him at three?
So just trying to set myself off mute. I'm quite surprised that he's not in Kev's top five, in all honesty. I mean, I think this is probably a guy who, a little bit undersized at 6 foot, you'd probably like him to be a little bit bigger. But, he's athletically, I mean, he didn't test at the combine. I don't know if he's done his pro day yet, but athletically, he's an absolute beast. I think he probably would have ran something very similar to what Payton Wilson did and ran in the 4.4s, maybe even the low 4.4s. For me, I think he's another one who's probably been overlooked by a lot of people. Football IQ, he's absolutely spot on. His stats last year, 85.7 PFF grade. Again, he's another one. He allowed a few too many receptions, 24 receptions allowed on 27 targets, played 12 games, 77 total tackles and 15 missed tackles with 37 stops. But, he was kind of, I was flipping between him and Junior Colson for the kind of three and the four positions.
Nice. He's had a pretty decent PFF grade the last 2 years as well. So, overall grade, that is. So, he looks like a decent talent. Kev, you went for Mr. Wallace at number five. I can't remember his first name. There we go. Trevin Wallace.
Yeah, Trevin Wallace.
Why was he in your top five?
He's just one of those players that you play with quarterback. In high school, he played quarterback, running back, wide receiver, linebacker. He was a returner. So he's got those strings to his bow. He's just a ridiculous athlete. He's truly a proper specimen. I think he was number 11 on Bruce Fieldman's 2023 Freaks list. Was he at 240 pounds? He was recorded, made a note here. He's recorded 22 miles per hour at one point in 22 season. He's just got great athleticism. He can play sort of like, you know, as a middle linebacker over the slot, as an overhang safety, like a hybrid safety linebacker type player. So he's got that positional versatility. He's a really good blitzer coming off the edge. He's really good at shooting the gaps between the offensive linemen. I mean, he still needs to work on his coverage a little bit. But I just think from what I saw, he just like, he flashed. I just like one of those players, you know, like you're watching and it just sticks in your mind. He is a little bit short. He's 6'1 at 237 pounds, but he's a young player as well. He's 21. And I just think that he can, I just think like he's one of those players that can grow. Like he's, like a coach would look at him and go, do you know what? I can mold him. And this, like, you know, because like his tackling is quite funny, right? Either makes like, either hits you like a truck, like an absolute like freight train like type truck, or he completely misses you, just like runs right past you. Like it's quite funny watching him in games sometimes, but like, he's got sort of those traits and abilities that, like, I think a linebacker coach would love to sort of like develop and work on.
Nice. I mean, obviously, linebacker is not really one of our big needs in the draft, so it's we're not necessarily going to be looking at these top guys. But who's out there that you could sort of be picked up in the later rounds if we do decide to draft linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, and maybe it's because I've got a bit of a soft spot for the position, but I think linebacker is probably a bigger need than what people have kind of made it. Yes, okay, we do have other needs, i.e. safety, cornerback, potentially guard, wide receiver, quarterback. But I still think linebacker's up there. It just seems one of them positions that we just never really draft really high, and I don't know why. I mean, we've drafted linebackers over the years, you know, Michael McFadden, Darian Beavers, you know, Ryan Connolly a few years ago. You know, we've drafted these players, but we sort of always seem to wait till like day three for some reason. And I find it quite annoying. Like I say, maybe it's because I've got a bit of a soft spot for the position. So I'd definitely like to try and land a linebacker in day two, potentially, depending on what they plan on doing in regards to like signing veteran safeties, veteran cornerbacks, etc. But I mean, like some players stand out for me. Tyrese Knight, linebacker out of UTEP. Tommy Eichenberg, linebacker out of Ohio State. And then, you know, Kev's pulling faces. I bet he's not going to pull a face when I mention the name J.D. Bertrand.
Yeah, baby. Exactly. Coach on the field. Yeah, no, some great names there. I mean, like, you know, Eichenberg sort of like started the season as if like he'd be a top five candidate, and he sort of didn't really, his production didn't match the hype before the season. But someone who I quite like is Jalen Ford out of Texas. He's a great athlete, a good downhill run defender. He's got good nose for the football. He's got six interceptions, four forced fumbles, three pass breakups in the last two seasons. So, you know, so is he someone maybe watching sort of the fifth round when you start to get that early day three, mid day three?
Nice. And let's not forget, obviously, yeah, we've got Okereke and Michael McFadden, but McFadden's far from the finished article. You know, he's had one season where he's been solid beside Bobby Okereke, but, you know, we could definitely do with some depth at a position and, you know, some decent sounding and looking guys coming out of in this draft. So there's some names to look out for there for sure.
Especially just want to mention, well, sorry, Tyrese Knight, I've mentioned it at UTEP. The Giants have met with him. They've had two interviews with him, and they've also hosted him for a top 30. We know Joe Shane likes to draft players that he brings in for top 30 visits. So, you know, that's another reason maybe to watch out for that name.
There you go. They're obviously looking at these guys, in this position. So, yeah, I kind of don't understand why we don't really draft linebackers. Or if we do, then we draft them, like you said, late on, Shane. It's almost like we forget we need linebackers. They go, oh, wait, hang on, we need a linebacker. Let's go in the fifth round or sixth round. And we don't tend to draft them particularly highly. So, yeah,
I mean,
it'd be... Go on, Kev.
Oh, sorry, man. We'll just look at the depth chart currently. Like, our off-ball inside linebackers are Bobby Okereke, Micah McFadden, second-year players, Deontay Johnson, Darian Beavers, Carter Coughlin. Those are our like linebacker core. So Shane's completely right. You know, you really, really need that third player to push McFadden for that starting position.
Yeah, and is it worth, you know, picking one of them up in the second or third round that is a better caliber player and that can play, you know, fill in for McFadden when he needs to or whatever, could potentially be there. So, you know, we're all going to find out in 3 weeks' time, I know, but, you know, it's all part of the fun. Right, Kev, safeties. Let's get it.
Let's get on. So I've gone for my Kev's top five safeties. Number five, Kalen Bullock out of USC. Number four, Cole Bishop out of Utah. Number three, Javon Bullard out of Georgia. Number two, Cameron Kitchens, Miami. And number one, Tyler Newbin, Minnesota.
Nice. Shane, who are you going for?
Yeah, so number five, I've gone for Dadjian Tyler Demerson, otherwise known as DTD, out of Texas Tech. Four, Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. Excuse me. Three, Kalen Bullock, USC. Two, Javon Bullard out of Georgia. And at number one, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota.
Again, you've gone, you know, four players that are the same, one difference. So let's start off at the top. Tyler Newbin, why is he number one?
I think for me, he's like, not hands down, but like he's as close as you can get to kind of the number one safety in this class. The safety class is very much like the running back class, in all honesty. Like, there's no real standout elite prospect at the top, but there is a lot of good depth there. And I just think with Tyler Newbin, you know, he's athletically, he's absolutely spot on. His PFF grade, 89.7 for the year, a 90.1 coverage grade. He had 43 tackles, 6 missed, allowed 6 receptions on 20 targets, had five interceptions, and also had 2 pick sixes as well, with 4 forced incompletions. I just think for me, he's as close as you can get to a standout prospect at the position in this draft class.
Yeah, I just think he's such a good player. I mean, like, he reads the quarterback eyes so well, from distance, from that safety position. Explodes on the ball when he's explodes on the ball when he's closing in on a player. He only gave up 34.5 completion percentage when targeted throughout his career. He's got good ball skills. He's not always targeted. They kind of stay away from him because he obviously is the elite defender on that Minnesota team. He's good coming down, downhill runner, like I said before. He's very good here, like filling the lanes and stuff. He's very good at like taking the right angles. Like he won't get sort of, a play won't overrun him because he's very good at taking the angles and making open field tackles. So yeah, it's just like I said, not sexy, not sort of like top player, but easily the best player in this draft, and like a really, really good starter in the league.
Nice. So, all right, then let's go, you know, Georgia produced good defenders. Let's go with Javon Bullard. Why is he in your top five? And let's go for Kev first.
Yeah, I mean, Javon Bullard, he's 5'11", 198 pounds. He might be undersized, but he plays way, way bigger. He's got like a heart of a lion type thing. He's a proper bulldog. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got that dog in him. He really, really has. He's all over the field. He's lightning quick. Let's just see what is his, I don't have his time here. His 40 time. Did he actually run one? He ran a 4.47 40 time. So he is quick. He plays around the line of scrimmage really, really well, considering his size, actually. You know, he gets off blocks well to make tackles. Good short area quickness. He makes plays in the backfield. Got good change of direction, like really quick, sort of a really like explosive, quick, sort of like good change of direction. Good against the run, good against the pass. Ideal position would be a free safety, that single high sort of safety, but can play as a two deep safety as well. I think like they said he was the best slot corner in the college football coming into this year. But then he obviously moved to the more traditional safety, add a little bit of weight, and he's still class. He's still a good, good player. So, I mean, like, you know, there's a lot to like here. And again, he would come in and start for us straight away and be a starting free safety, hands down. You know, he's a good player.
Yeah, I've kind of got him very, very similar. I think it's going to be interesting how he's going to be used, just because, like Kev says, he's that little bit undersized than what you'd ideally like. I mean, you know, with teams deploying probably more as a nickel than anything else, but you know, he's just one of them players that football IQ, that's what sort of elevates his playing, his ability, and that's why he's being spoken about as highly as I think they have him at safety 2, Kev safety 3. You know, and he, like I say, it's that football IQ. If you go to Georgia, let's be honest, you're not a dud at the end of the day. You know how to play football. You know how to read plays. You know how to make plays. And yeah, you know, I think he's one of them that could be, you know, in sort of 3 or 4 years' time, well, what a steal.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like one of the things there for the negatives was like he sometimes he's a bit cautious. Like he is very cautious at the back end. He kind of like takes a little bit of time to sort of read the play, but he's got such an explosive quickness that he's able to make the play once he knows what he wants to do.
Nice. And then lastly, let's go with Cameron Kinchins. Shane, why is he at number two? Kev, why is he at number two for you?
So I think Cameron Kinchins was actually really going for the top spot in this draft before the season started. You can sort of see in 22 was a PFF grade of 90, coverage grade of 90.7. I think he didn't have a bad season, but he didn't have the season that people were expecting them to have either, and that kind of like maybe made people sort of drop the grading on him, and he didn't test well at the combine as well. I have to say that, and that sort of like dropped him in a lot of people's rankings. But like, I think he's got a good enough athlete with good movement skills to play the position. And we all know that safety isn't, you don't have to be the most athletic. You know, that's when you have the cornerbacks and stuff like that who are proper athletic. But he's got like a proper nose for the football. He's got 11 interceptions in the last 2 years. Like he reads the quarterback really, really well. He's got really good instincts. And he's really good at mirroring receivers' routes. So when he picks up a receiver, he stays with them really, really well, considering like his lack of speed. I mean, like, one thing I will say, like, you know, people use the term like ball hawk. Like he is a ball hawk. Like, and when he gets the ball as well, like he shows good return skills. So when he actually makes an interception, he shows good skills to be able to take it back. You know, he's a physical tackler. You know, he always gets ball carriers to the ground. So I think there's a lot to like. I mean, like I said, you know, the shocking combine really sort of hurt his stock. I just pull up his combine numbers now, and what was it? He ran a 4.62 40 with a 1.59 split. I mean, that's sort of put the nail in his coffin a little bit. But for me, when you get like bad combine numbers and stuff like that, I still go back to like, what does he look like on the field? And I think he's just a really, really good instinctual football player, and I think he'll get knocked in the draft process, but I think when it comes to playing on Sundays, he will be productive.
Nice. And obviously, Shane, you had him rated at 4. Why'd you have him a bit lower?
It's kind of a combination of things. So obviously, he had a disappointing season. I'm not going to say a poor season, but his 2023 was disappointing. I think, you know, if he'd have come into the draft this year off of last year's form, you know, he would have been in the conversation for the safe position. But I think when you throw in, you know, his combine as well, to me, I then start thinking, okay, you've had a bad season, you've had a poor combine. What's going on? Like, is there, are you not prepping properly? What is an injury? You know, you just start, these are the questions you start to ask, because like I said before, the combine alone won't dictate where a player is on a top five. But when you throw in a poor combine off the back of a poor season when they had an absolutely great season the year before, that's when things for me start thinking, okay, something's not quite right. Why is he not performed the way that he has? Why is he not showed out? I mean, you know, like Kev says, he's a complete ball hawk. That's the best way to describe him. 2022, 2023, he had a combined 11 interceptions and 6 pass breakups. You know, he knows where the ball is and he'll go and get that ball. But for me, he's just dropped down a little bit, like I say, off the back of a good season, then a poor season and a poor showing at the combine. Just a couple of little red flags for me at the minute.
No, fair enough. And Kev, you went for Cole Bishop. Obviously, Shane's not chosen him. 1 minute on why Cole Bishop's in your top five.
Cole Bishop, he's my guy. He is definitely one of my guys in this draft. I knew of him before, but I watched him the other day, and I was just like, he's just making plays. I mean, like, he's such a smooth mover. He's got good short area quickness. He's good in both zone coverage and man coverage. He's a good blitzer. He got 21 pressures, 2 sacks. on 60 pass rushing snaps and 22. His physical downhill run defender, good in run support, tracks the ball really well. Good job at the contested catch point. It makes splash plays and coverage. I just think like he's a leader on the field. I think the only real downside is like he can struggle against the top tight ends. You know, he lacks a top speed. I just think he's one of those players. Again, he'll come in kind of like a Harrison Smith type of the Vikings. Won't go in the first round like Harrison did, but he'll come in and he'll play in the league for 10, 12 years.
Nice. And then Shane, you went with, as I'll call him as you did, DTD is your number 5 pick. Why'd you go with him? Again, 1 minute.
Literally just think of what Kev's just said. DTD is my guy in at this position. Like, I just absolutely love him. I think he's so underrated and being overlooked massively. You know, you look at his season this year, 13 games played, PFF grade is 78.5. Over his career at college, he's always been in the mid-70s and at the back end of the 70s this year. 79 tackles. Yeah, and he had 9 missed tackles, which, you know, isn't a lot. 20 receptions on 35 targets for 4 interceptions. Gave up 3 touchdowns, 7 forced incompletions. You know, I just think he's someone that, you know, he's a little bit like Bullard from Georgia. He's a little bit undersized, but, you know, he balled out at the combine. He's 5'10", ran a 4.41 with a 1.52 split, 38-inch vert, 10'3" broad jump. I just think he's someone that people need to probably watch a little bit more tape on personally.
Sneaky little deep pick there.
Well, I will say I've got him at 6. Yeah, I love him as well. I think he's a good player. Yeah.
just on the outside then. So
yeah.
All right, cool. All right then. All right, last but not least then, we've got cornerbacks for the final time. Shane, top 5.
Kev could annoy me with his top 5. I want to see what he's doing. So at number 5, I've gone for Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. 4, I've gone for Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. 3, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. 2, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. And at number 1, I've gone for Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo.
Right. Nice. Yeah. I respect it. Hey! Oh, would you look at that? Look. Kev's top 5 at the cornerback position is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson at 5, Kool-Aid McKinstry at Alabama at 4, Terrion Arnold, Alabama at 3, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa at 2, and Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo at number 1.
Same top 5. Wow, there we go. All right. I think there's only one place we can start this off. And that's the guy that's named after a drink. Let's go with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Why is he in the top 5, lads?
For me, he only just snuck in. In all honesty, I debated taking him out for Rakestraw, out of Missouri. Kool-Aid was on my radar last year, not because of his name, in case you would.
Liar.
It's a name that stands out. So when you hear that name when you're watching college football, you take notes. You're like, oh, okay. You just remember that name. You know, I think he had a better 2022 than 2023 for me, although his grades wouldn't take otherwise. So this year he put a PFF grade of 88.6, coverage grade of 86.9. He played 14 games. He allowed 17 receptions on 37 targets. Gave up 1 touchdown with no interceptions. He had 10 forced incompletions. You know, for me, it come down to the reason he stayed in my top 5, a little bit like I mentioned with Cameron Kitchens, it's what he did last year as well. So, look, I'm not saying he had a good year this year. I preferred what I saw from him last year personally. When I combine the 2 years, that's what sort of solidified him in that top 5 for me, as opposed to going for Rakestraw out of Missouri.
Yeah, I like McKinstry. Just to say a few things about him, like, so his actual name is, I hope I pronounce this right, JaQuincy McKinstry. Of course, as Kool-Aid was given to him by his grandmother because of a smile when he was a baby, apparently. But he was a highly touted recruit. He was like Mr. Alabama football in 2020. He played in his freshman season. He played all 15 games. He was SEC all freshman team. In his second season, played all 13 games. Was second team all American. Last year, he played all 14 games and was first-team All-American. He's a good run defender, 8.1 missed tackle rate last year. He's got good length, good speed, good explosiveness. He's better in zone than he is in man coverage. He gets a bit handsy in man coverage, you know, as people run down the field. So, you know, he could give away penalties at the next level. But to be fair, like, he's got good ball skills. And he was only targeted 39 times all of last season. So I think that's why his production was a little bit lower. Because like people aren't targeted. And then maybe that's why Terry Arnold's production was higher, because teams were going that way with the ball. So yeah, I do like him as a good player. I think he can be a very, very good corner in this league. And that's why I got him at a little bit higher than Shane.
Nice. All right, let's go with number two, Cooper DeJean. Kev, why is he number two for you?
Because he's not a safety. Isn't that right, Shane?
Yeah, I've seen people saying he's a safety. I'm like, no. Can he play safety? Yes. But, you know, can rain pegs give me square holes? Of course.
I mean, the geezer's just an athletic freak. I mean, like, was it? In high school, he played quarterback and defensive back. He also played basketball, baseball. He ran track. His parents were All-American athletes at the university level. I mean, he's Iowa's second leading scorer in basketball behind TJ Hockerson and Sacramento Kings NBA forward Harrison Barnes. He had the fastest 100-yard dash of any runner in the state during his senior year. He's just, and he actually chose to play defensive back at Iowa. Instead, he actually had a scholarship offer from South Dakota State to be a quarterback. Like, he's just, you know, last year he played 10 games. He was a first team All American. He's, like I said, he's just an absolute athlete, really good speed, really good agility. He's physical, he's disciplined in coverage, he's got good quickness. He has a nose for the ball. Three pick sixes in 22. He's good at mirroring players. He's fast. I mean, what was his? Let me just see what his 40 time was.
He didn't run at the combine due to injury. But I believe he's performing at his pro day.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I mean, like, he's just a gamer. He's not a gamer. They play special teams as well as a gunner and a returner. I mean, what's not to like about him? I mean, he's just a really, 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 really good prospect. And if he comes into a team, if you need someone to start at safety, someone to start at nickel, someone to start at cornerback, he's your starting player at all those positions. So yeah, I just love him. I think he's a really good prospect, and he'll be a top cornerback in this league.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we've got so many holes that we've got, because, you know, a potential trade down and picking him up with the lack of depth we've got at safety and cornerback, he would be perfect in my opinion for kind of what we need at the minute. I think for me, he was cornerback one until last week when I decided to go with my instinct on Quinyon Mitchell, which we'll talk about in a little while. But I think Cooper DeJean, I think the reason why he's kind of falling off the radar a little bit with some people and being overlooked is just because he didn't perform at the combine and he had a little bit of an injury, but, you know, he's come out and said he's going to be performing at his pro day. So, you know, the injuries are all aside. And I think if he'd have performed at the combine, there'd have been a lot more chatter about him potentially being a kind of top 10, top 12 pick.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Producer Craig, we've had a comment about Cooper DeJean. Maybe a controversial one. Do you want to throw it up on screen for us? So, Dale, Cooper's going to drop out of the first round. Lads.
Oh.
What do we say to that?
I mean, I'll let you take that one first.
Thanks. I respect Dale's opinion. At the end of the day, he thinks that... Look, I think people are probably thinking that because he's not performed at the combine and... All these other cornerbacks, like Quinyon Mitchell's turned up at the combine, balled out. Nate Wiggins turned up at the combine, balled out, ran a 4.26, I think it was, or 4.28. You know, Cooper wouldn't have ran them times. He wouldn't have ran in the 4.2s, maybe late 4.3s, early 4.4s potentially. But, you know, these other players have been to the combine. People have watched, they've gone up boards, and because he's not been able to perform, I think he's just been overlooked a little bit. But I think, you know, when you watch the tape with Cooper DeJean, you don't lose what he's got.
I completely agree. I mean, I think that Dale is a bitter Bears fan as well. So maybe he's just trying to get us a bit of a talk going and the wind up maybe. But no, I mean, Cooper Jean, I mean, it would be astonishing if he fell out of the first round. He's just so much better than a lot of the other prospects in this class. I mean, like I said, he's just got it all. Like, and it's too easy for people to say he should be a safety when he's not. He's an absolute outstanding cornerback.
Sounds like someone we could do with having in our team. All right, let's go with Quinyon Mitchell then in number one. Shane, why is he
above I love Quinyon Mitchell. I wish we could draft. Oh man, the thought of Quinyon Mitchell and Deontay Banks on the perimeter each.
Listen, Shane, calm down. It's okay.
It's annoying a little bit, to be fair, because for me, Quinyon Mitchell, he was in my top five. Like when I started doing my top five, and he slowly started bumping up a little bit. Like he was at five, then he was at four. And then I was like, you know what? I'm a Quinyon Mitchell guy, massively. Like he balled out at the combine. Just getting his stats up there. So he come in at 6 foot, 195 pounds. He ran a 4.33, 40 yard dash, 1.51, 10 yard split, 38 inch vert, 10 foot 2 inches broad jump, and put up 20 reps on the bench press as well. You know, I think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a stud in this league. I really, really do. And I'm a little bit gutted Kev had him at one because I was like, oh, I'm going to be ballsy. I'm going to put Quinyon Mitchell at number one. Everyone's got Cooper DeJean or Terrion Arnold at number one. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go with Quinyon Mitchell at number one. You know, last year he put up a 91.5 PFF grade. The year before he put up a 92.5 PFF grade. This past season he played, where is he on my spreadsheet there? He played 13 games. He was targeted 62 times and gave up 27 receptions for 290 yards. He had one interception and zero touchdowns allowed. 17 forced incompletions. So, you know, he's a player that likes to get his hand up in there and stop that ball. And, you know, that's kind of something that can catch players out at the next level when they're transitioning from college to the NFL. He's been able to turn that head, just put their hand in there and jar the ball loose. You know, I'm a massive Quinyon Mitchell guy and, you know, I wish we could draft him. He's comfortably CB1 for me.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I mean, like, he's got ideal build. He's got all the measurables, high football IQ. He reads the quarterback really, really well. Played very, very good at off coverage. Some of the stuff that, was that 6 interceptions, 27 pass breakups over the last 2 seasons. He uses his hands well in coverage. He avoids the, he's careful not to get called for pass interference, which is huge, especially at the college level. He's good in run support. Just on the negatives, but I mean, like, when you hear these negatives, it's going to be like, you'd be like, it doesn't really matter. But like, so we didn't see him in press man coverage because the Toledo didn't play that. So you only know if he can do it. He dominated against lesser competition. But he didn't play anyone big time. Okay. But those two things, he went to the Senior Bowl and balled out. He showed he could play press man coverage. He showed he could go up against the best of the best at the Senior Bowl. So like any sort of like negatives you kind of have with him, he kind of proved those a bit at the Senior Bowl, but it will be interesting to see what he does in the league going forward. But I mean, he kind of like, for some small school prospect to prove yourself, he has done everything asked of him throughout this whole draft process and in the season, playing in season, to be dominant. Because you can only play what's in front of you. So he was dominant against what was in front of him. He went to the Senior Bowl, was dominant against the best players, and he tested outstanding at the combine. So he's just ticking all the boxes.
I'd probably say that outside of JJ McCarthy, nobody else has elevated and boosted their draft stock more than Quinyon Mitchell has since the season ended.
Yeah, I mean, by the sounds of it, he's going to be, like I said, one of the top prospects in the league, and he's going to do work, play well in the league. But, I mean, obviously, we've got a bit of a hole at corner. Obviously, we took a cornerback in the first round last year in Tay Banks. You know, we've got some real young guys in at corner. You know, Cordell Flott's 22, Banks is 22, Trey Hawkins is 23. You know, so we've got some young, exciting players there. But where do we get a replacement for Adoree Jackson from? Do we get it in the draft or do we get it in free agency?
I think it depends on what you do. Do you want that veteran presence or do you want someone that's got potential, because you could pick up a very solid cornerback on day two, in all honesty. It just comes down to, do you want to play Banks, who's only had 1 year of experience with alongside a player who's had 0 years experience in the NFL, or do you want that veteran presence on the team?
Yeah, because we haven't really got that sort of perfect pinnock, could you say, would be a veteran presence in the DB room. I mean, we kind of need something to happen there. I mean, but I think that's round two, round three is a sweet spot to get a CB2 in this draft. I mean, like, obviously these top five players will likely go in the first round. But then you're looking at, well, in the second round, you're looking at players like, you like Ennis Rakeshaw out of Missouri, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, Cam Hart, Max Belton out of Rutgers, Renato Green out of Florida State. You know, these are all players that with that second, third round pick would come in and be your starting cornerback too, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is that are there any players there to pick on day two or three? So you've answered that already, Kev, so thanks very much. But no, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, those players that will be there in the second or third round, because we're going to need someone at corner. But whether we go with a rookie or whether we go with experience, who knows? We'll see what happens in a few weeks. But, you know, there's definitely some names to...
Just because I know it'll annoy Kev, James has just mentioned that a few NFL analysts are suggesting Cooper DeJean will be converted to a safety at the NFL level.
let's just address the elephant in the room. It's because he's a white cornerback, and there hasn't been one since Jason Sehorn in the 90s or early noughties or whatever it was. That's the only reason you want to try and pigeonhole him in there. Like, I'm not standing for it. But, like, even a couple of names on day three, like I quite like the look of Quantez Stiggers, who's an interesting story. He's actually comes from the CFL, the Toronto Argonauts. You know, he never went to college because of some stuff at home. He couldn't go to college. He had to stay home, look after his family. So he's only coming into the draft now because you have to be 3 years removed from high school to be eligible. Now, he's a player who kind of played indoor arena football, went up to Canada, and has balled out there. He got Rookie of the Year last year in his first year. Now he's entering the draft. I mean, DJ James out of Auburn, who's a great player, but he's a little bit small. He's only 175. And I just want to get Shane's take on Kalen King. Now, if anyone's stock has been taking a battering through this offseason process, especially the combine, is Kalen King's. Well, what's your opinion on him, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, when I started all this, I was like, right, can I get Kalen King in my top five? And I was like, I
fifth round, you mean?
Yeah, literally, I can't. I mean, Kalen King is someone he might sneak into round three, potentially, depending on kind of what run you have on cornerbacks. But, you know, I mean, last year he played 12 games. He allowed 25 receptions on 41 targets for 290 yards. He didn't give up any touchdowns. He didn't have any interceptions either. Three forced incompletions, but his coverage grade was only a 55.7. And just
but he was so much better the year before, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he should have been a top five, not pick. He should have been in a top five for cornerback in this draft class, and he didn't really have a great season, to be honest. And, you know, I mean, I'd kind of argue I might like Johnny Dixon a little bit more than Kalen King, in all honesty, another Penn State lad.
Is he more of a slot guy, though?
Yeah, he'll probably be a day three kind of guy, but, I mean, you know, slot's a bit of an issue for us. I mean, I know Dan doesn't want to see big play Darnay there. So, you know, his issues. I mean, like, you know, I mean, is that something maybe we look at? I know we've mentioned it before, but do you try and get Cordell to put on a little bit of size and maybe draft a slot and try and see what Cordell can do out in CB2? I mean, I don't think he's quite going to be good enough, but it's just an alternative option. But yeah. Kalen King, Johnny Dixon, two Penn State guys, probably day three picks.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, talking about slot quickly, I mean, you're looking at, like, was it Mike Sanistril out of Michigan, who's an awesome, awesome, he's only 5'9", so he's obviously a slot, but he's got that dog in him, he has. And he got Tyke Smith out of Georgia, Jaron Jones from Craig's Florida State, you know, Chris Abrams-Drain. These are all, like, slot nickel cornerbacks that you can kind of get in the third to fourth, fifth round type thing. But Shane, Daquan Hardy, what was he like last year?
He had a really good year, to be honest with you. You know, Kev's back. I wonder where he'd gone then. Daquan Hardy, he was kind of like a little bit like Kalen King was last year, but just better. You know, there's a lot of hope for Hardy. But I just whilst we're on the topic of cornerbacks, I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but I quite like Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon as well.
Massive though, isn't he? He's huge.
He's 6'4", I think he is. But yeah, so he's another player I'd be looking at kind of on that day. Probably day.
No, you can move him to safety with that size. The point is, the point is, Dan, like, it's so deep, this cornerback class. I mean, there's fantastic players at the top. There's real starting cornerback twos all the way down to the third, fourth round. And then you've got your, sort of slot guys or third string cornerbacks you could get even the fifth and sixth round. So it's such a deep class. Like, you know, that's what I was saying before. I'd like us to come away with a potential player who could push for a starting position at the cornerback spot.
Nice. And obviously looking back at Jerry Shane's last two drafts, I mean, we've taken no less than five defensive backs in the last 2 years in the draft. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we do pick another defensive back somewhere. Obviously, Banks, Trey Hawkins, Javarius Owens, Cordell Flott, and Dane Belton being those five that we picked up in the last 2 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do pick up another one at some point or another throughout the draft this year, because Shane clearly likes his, Joe Shane clearly likes his defensive backs, whether it's corner or safety. So yeah, it's good to hear that there's a deep cornerback class, because we do definitely need the help at corner. So it'll be interesting to see if we do pick one of these up. All right, there you have it. Kevin Shane's top five is 2024. Let us know what you think. Let us know in the comments. If you agree with their rankings, if you disagree with their rankings, if there's any names that stand out, if there's any names, sort of deep dive names that you think you like and would, you know, be a good fit for the Giants, get in touch with us. Drop it in the comments, drop it on our comments on X or Facebook, YouTube, wherever it may be. But that is all we have time for this evening, unfortunately, Giants fans. But we will be back live next Tuesday at the usual time of 8:30 to round up all the latest news, give you awesome day two and day three picks to look out for as well. And plus, we'll be doing our first big UK and Ireland mock draft of 2024 when we do a three-round mock draft next week. Kev's face is of absolute joy, so he's obviously looking forward to that. We've also got a bonus episode coming this Saturday where the boys had the pleasure to sit down and chat all things draft with Jordan DeLugo. Guys, what can the viewers and listeners expect from that?
Even more insight into the draft, to be honest. You know, it was a great chat with Jordan, very knowledgeable guy. We spoke about some players that we've mentioned on this episode. So, you know, if you want more draft content, don't worry. It's coming. It's on its way. Great content with Jordan, and looking forward to getting into the mock draft where we will not be drafting JJ McCarthy next week.
Yeah, no, it was a great podcast. I'm looking forward to that coming out, because Jordan definitely knows the stuff. You know, he's got his YouTube channel, Rogue Football, and it's just draft content, just draft content. He absolutely knows what he's talking about. He's been doing it for years. He's a Jacksonville guy, and it's a real pleasure to get him on. And he's offered to come on post-draft as well to go through what the Giants picked. And it's good to get another set of eyes on players and sort of see what other people's views are, sort of see if they align with yours. But it's good. Look out for that this weekend. It's really good. It'll be a good listen and a good watch. And I'm looking forward to next week's show where we get to mock draft.
I'm looking forward to Saturday's episode, because obviously I wasn't on last night. So yeah, really looking forward to listening to that and hearing what Jordan's got to say. But anything else, Dad, you want to add before we go, guys?
Nah, just like, you know, to our first official episode of Draft Month. Draft Month is finally here. You know, we've given a clue as to what we're doing last week. So where Kev is sat now, we're all going to be there in the war room, in our own war room, for 6 or 7 hours, however long it takes to go from the hour before the draft to the end of the draft. And all four of us are absolutely buzzing for it. Hotels are booked and everything. So, you know, like I said, draft content is not going to be stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, big time. You know, it's just we're ramping it up now. You know, you've got our top fives out there. You've got a few names of people to look out for. We'll continue adding to those, you know, give our thoughts on who the Giants should pick all through the draft, who's standing out, who's going up and down. But yeah, the war room on draft night will be class. And like, get involved. If you're up watching it, watch it with us. I mean, one of the lads put in earlier on, he's booked time off work for it and everything. You know, since I've been on the draft, I've been booking the Fridays off as well, you know, because I just love staying up and watching all like the random picks and stuff. But yeah, like ask questions, like get involved. It'll be really interactive. You know, we'll be interacting. We'll be answering all lots of questions, getting people on. It'll be a really, really good fun night. I'm looking forward to seeing you boys again in real life. Yeah, it's ramping up now. It's no letting up. Draft in 3 weeks Thursday.
Three short little weeks, boys, until we're all together in that room having a few drinks and enjoying the first round of this year's draft. Cannot wait. And also, yeah, obviously we've got potentially raffles, competitions, things like that coming up as well. So keep your eyes and ears open for those things as well, because there's lots more to come from us on draft night. And as I said at the top, you can check out all of our social platforms and our merch store by following the links in the description, and give this episode a like and a share on your platform of choice as well. We appreciate the love as always. My thanks as ever go to Shane and to Kev for joining me, to you the viewers and listeners for tuning in. We are signing off. Until next time, let's go Giants.